transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled The Cosmic Manifestation. We're in chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, and today's text is number 3. Sarvam hi etad bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu karamalaka vad Vishvam Vijnanavasitam Tava Sarvam Hita Bhavan Veda Bhuta Bhavyam Bhavat Prabhu Karamalakavad Vishvam Vijnanavasitam Tava Sarvam Hita Bhavan Veda Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Kara Malakavat Vishwam Vigyana Vasitangtava Sarvang Hetad Bhavan Veda Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu Kara Malakavat Vishwam Vijnana Vasitang Tava. Please chant. Vaishnavins, okay, synonyms, sarvam, all and everything, he, certainly, etat, this, bhavan, your good self, veda, no, bhuta, all that is created or born, Bhavya, all that will be created or born. Bhavat, all that is being created. Prabhu, you, the master of everything. Kara Amalakavat, just like a walnut within your grip. Vishwam, the universe. Vijnana avasitam, within your knowledge scientifically. Tava, your. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse, my dear father, all this is known to you scientifically because whatever was created in the past whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe is within your grip, just like a walnut. Please repeat. My dear Father, all this is known to you scientifically. Because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip, just like a walnut. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Brahma is the direct creator of the manifested universe and everything within the universe. He therefore knows what happened in the past, what will happen in the future, and what is happening at present. Three principal items, namely the living being, the phenomenal world, and the controller, are all in continuous action, past, present, and future. And the direct manager is supposed to know everything of such actions and reactions, as one knows about a walnut within the grip of one's palm. The direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up, and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. Because Brahma is the firstborn living being, naturally, he is supposed to know everything about creative functions. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinavine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavada Prasati Shtarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Swasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So the time for class is getting a little squeezed. We start everything 15 minutes earlier than we did in the past, but we still have to end kirtan and everything on time, so there's enough time for class. So who's speaking this verse today? Narada Muni. So what is Narada Muni's situation? We know Narada Muni in his previous life, you could say, was an earthling. He was born on the earth of an earthly mother, maidservant, but he became perfect by the association of Bhaktivedantas. So now in this appearance, he's actually a liberated soul. So liberated soul means exactly the same quality as Krishna. What are Krishna's qualities? Three main qualities. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Sat means eternality. Chit means full knowledge. And Ananda, full bliss. So all living entities on the spiritual platform, they have these three qualities, same as Krishna. They are eternal, and they know it. Not like we're eternal, but we don't know it. We're still thinking ourselves to be products of matter. They have knowledge, not complete knowledge of everything everywhere like God, Krishna does, but they have knowledge of this phenomenal world and the spiritual world. They know categorically what's going on. And Ananda, they are blissful. They don't have any miserable condition of life. They're completely blissful. So if Narada Muni is Chit, if he knows what's happening, why is he asking Brahma? If he knows what's going on, why is he asking Lord Brahma? For us, for our sake, so we can learn what's going on. So we can understand what this whole world is all about. That's why he's questioning Lord Brahma. He's Narada Muni. He's a spaceman. He's a spiritual being, perfect. He doesn't need to ask Lord Brahma these questions. He's asking these questions for our benefit. So we should then listen carefully to the questions and even more carefully to the answers. So this canto, too, is dealing with the cosmic manifestation. The cosmic manifestation is not something apart from us. We are a part of it. As I've said many times, as a child I was born on the island of Jamaica, and back in those days, early 50s, there was pretty much very little light pollution on a small island like that. So when it was a dark moon night, you could see everything out there. It was just mind-blowing. Even for a child, I would look at the sky and wonder, oh my, Krishna. I didn't know Krishna yet. Oh my God. Where is all this coming from? And how do I, little tiny me, fit into all of this? So this is a question that we should ask. Not just who's going to be the next president or how much money am I going to make next week or how do I fit into this whole cosmic manifestation? That's why Narada Muni is asking these questions, to stimulate us to ask the same question. Otherwise, we get bound up, caught up in our little petty, you know, what is the weather going to be like tomorrow and who's going to be, you know, all these things really don't matter ultimately. What really matters is understanding who you are, your place in the cosmic manifestation. And specifically now he's asking about creation. He started out by glorifying Lord Brahma properly. Deva Deva, Namastestu, Bhuta Bhava, Napurbaja. Deva Deva, you're the chief of all the demigods. I can see that. Namastestu, I offer my obeisances. Bhuta Bhava, Napurbaja. All the living entities seem to be generated by you, but you are unborn yourself. You don't seem to have any father and mother. But we know the backstory. Lord Brahma appeared on the lotus flower that grew from the navel of whom? Which Vishnu? No, not Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the first Vishnu that generates all the universes from the pores of his skin. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Yeah, then within each universe, half the universe is filled up with water, and on that water, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is lying on Sheshanaga, and then from his navel, this flower, lotus flower sprouts, and Lord Brahma appears there. So, again, Narad Muni is setting the stage, because he knows some people are going to be bewildered. Lord Brahma is so great. Lord Indra is so great. Surya, Bhagavan is so great. All these great demigods, some people are going to be confused and think that they are actually God. So again, he's setting the stage. He's glorifying him as wonderful personality, but he's giving him the opportunity to say who he really is. Because Lord Brahma, he knows. He knows I'm not the source of everything. And that's why amongst the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam, we have Atra Sarga Visargascha. Sarga means creation. So who does that creation? Krishna. Krishna, yeah. He expands as Balaram and Chaturvyuha and ultimately Mahavishnu. All of this creation is going on actually by Krishna. So after Sarga, creation comes Visarga, subsequent creation, where Lord Brahma is going to take the ingredients and the knowledge given to him by Krishna where? From within the heart. Then he arranges everything within the universe. The different planetary systems and bodies for the living entities are generated based on their desires at the end of the last creation. At the end of each creative cycle and the end of the universe, which is the same as the lifespan of Brahma, everything gets withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu. All the souls who are not liberated, who don't go back to Godhead, they also get drawn into the body of the Lord. And I've stated several times that I always had a question about that. That we know Krishna, God, is supremely pure. Completely pure. And anything that comes in contact with him, if it's impure, it cannot contaminate him. It becomes purified instead. So if we're impure at the end of the creation, we get withdrawn into the body of the supremely pure Mahavishnu. How is it we don't become pure? How is it that we come out again impure? I always had that question. So the answer is that the Lord does not interfere with your minute independence. If you have not, by the time the universe is withdrawn, if you have not surrendered and you're not desirous of going back to God and to serve God, serve Krishna, then you maintain your contaminated consciousness for billions of years. Not just a few days or a few weeks, a few months. Billions of years we lie unconscious within the body of Mahavishnu, holding on to those contaminated desires. And then when the universe is created again by Lord Brahma, we come out and assume again a form just suitable to the desires that we've had in the previous, at the end of the previous creation. So if you wanted to fly in the sky, you get the bird's body. If you want to swim like anything, you get a fish body. You know, depending on your desire and what you deserve, you're going to come out and get exactly the right body. Demigod body, ant body, fish body, human body. You're going to get it exactly according to what you deserve. So this is then subsequent creation. Sarga, creation is done by the Lord. Visarga, subsequent creation is done by the Brahma in each universe. And the Brahma in each universe doesn't necessarily know what's going on beyond that. We know from the story of our Lord Brahma visiting Dwarka. He wanted to see Lord Krishna, get audience of Lord Krishna. He got to the gate and the doorman asked him to please wait and let me announce you. So the doorman, gatekeeper, went and told Krishna, Lord Brahma is here to see you. So he asked him, which Brahma? So the gatekeeper went back and asked Lord Brahma, which Brahma are you? Krishna wants to know. So he was bewildered. What do you mean, which Brahma? I'm the only Brahma in this universe. So finally, when he got to go in to see Lord Krishna, Krishna blew his mind. He showed him by calling the Brahmas from all the other universes. Our Brahma has four heads, Prabhupada explains, because our universe is the smallest, which means we can assume it came out last. Because as the universes come out, they expand. So the last one to come out is the smallest one. And then they all get withdrawn back into the body of the Lord. So our Brahma has four heads, but in some universes, Brahma has 8, 16, 32, up to thousands and thousands of heads. So Krishna called them all in, and they all came and bowed their multi-heads at his feet. Our Lord Brahma was blown away. He had no idea. So, but for our edification, and to show that he knows his position, he wrote his Sangita, wrote down his understanding of his position and the position of Krishna. We have, out of 100 chapters, the Brahma Samhita was originally 100 chapters, we have only chapter 5. But just by reading that fifth chapter, we understand so much hearing from our Lord Brahma. So how does he start out? This is a verse that everybody should know. And I told the story already. I was traveling through Europe back in 96. I came to Copenhagen, Denmark. And we used to have a recording studio just a few miles outside of Copenhagen. And the devotees there, they made a lot of different... There was the Srihari and so many other... Radhika Ramana. So many devotees would go there and record so many nice songs. And one devotee there, we got to know each other, and he understood that I was born in Jamaica. He said, oh, so you must like reggae. So he gave me all this collection of Hare Krishna reggae songs. So one devotee took this first verse of the Brahma Samhita and put it to a reggae beat. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakar Nakaranam. So this is a verse that we must know and meditate on. Because in that one verse, Lord Brahma is showing that he completely understands what's going on. There may be so many controllers, just like in this temple we have our controller, Subhas Prabhu, whose birthday it is today. Everybody should come for lunch in his honor. So he's controller, but he's got his controller. And then there's a city controller and a state controller and a controller of the United States. And then there's a controller of this earth planet. And even all the living entities living here are not aware of, even the human beings, supposedly highly conscious. They don't know that there's Bhumi Devi, who is the controller of this planet. They're thinking that it's up to them to take over this country or do this and that. We're just like little ants running around for a few days and then we're gone. And we're thinking we're so important. But the controlling deity of this planet, Bhumi Devi, she remains. You know, even after all these, the fighting that goes on or the, you know, we try to be helpful to each other or we wind up fighting each other. Still, all of this is just a little drama that goes on for a few days. But Bhumi Devi is there since the beginning of the planet and she'll be there until the end. So, we should understand that Lord Brahma understands what's going on. That's why Narad Muni is asking. Narad Muni already knows, as I stated. He already knows. He's a liberated soul. So he knows the answer to all these questions. But he's asking Brahma so Brahma can give us information. And Brahma gives that information very clearly in his Sangita, out of which we have that fifth chapter. So the very first verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that there are many controllers, including himself. He's a controller of this universe. But the supreme controller is Krishna, and he specifically names Krishna. He doesn't just say the supreme controller is God. No, because then people will bring forth so many gods, this god, that god. No, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. And he has a form that is made up of eternality, blissfulness, and knowledge. But form is there, because this is another mistake people make, that God is ultimately formless. They say like that. But Prabhupada would say, no, everything that you see in this creation has form. From the little ant to the gigantic mountain, everything has a form. So why would the source of it all be formless? It doesn't make sense. The source has to have a form. The planet has a form. Sometimes people were thinking in the past it was a flat form. But we know that the universe is under, it's egg-like, and all the planets are round. They're not flat. The planets are circular, spherical, you could say. So all of this information is there in the Vedas. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchana. Anadir Adir. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning or origin of everything else. And as I stated, I was discussing with some guy on Quora, which is an online forum. And people, they say like that, that they don't believe, they can't accept that there is a God. So they say everything is going on by the laws of nature. So I said, really, it's kind of funny that you accept laws, but not the lawmaker. Wherever there are laws, there's somebody who made those laws. They don't just come into being. It's not by accident that there's a traffic law and there's criminal law. These are not accidents. Somebody actually sat down and wrote those laws. So similarly, the universal laws that you depend on, like the law of gravity, you throw something up, it comes down, etc. It's not by accident. These are by design. Somebody created these laws. There's a person behind it, personality. So all these things are very, very easy to understand for devotees. Very, very easy to understand for devotees. Just like Kunti Devi. She, in her prayers, she shows that she knows who Krishna is. Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishwamurti Sakeshume. She says, Ata, therefore, Vishvesha, which means Vishva Isha. Vishva means the universe, Isha means the controller. Again, the devotees know that there is a supreme controller and they know who that supreme controller is. That supreme controller is Krishna. Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishva Atma. You're the soul of the universe. We know anything that appears to be alive, just like our own bodies, the tree, an ant, there's a soul there. It's not, because when the soul leaves, we call that death. And Prabhupada used to say, you're so proud of your science, if it's just a matter of chemicals, when you declare this person to be dead, or this tree to be dead, or this dog to be dead, just make some chemical arrangement, get it going again. But no, even the biggest scientists, they always say, oh no, he's dead. In other words, we can't do anything. So then why do you have such big, big presentations and giving each other Nobel Prize and stuff? The Nobel Prize should be given if you can bring that dead body back to life. If you can't, then be quiet. And it's not a theoretical thing, because we know at some point you're going to die. So if you're such a big, big scientist, big, big brain, make an arrangement so that you don't have to die. Or leave a formula that when I die, you know, follow this formula and bring me back to life. They can't do it. Yet they have such big, big presentations and conferences and going on and on and on. Prabhupada used to make fun of them. He said, one of my students, Bhakti Swarup Damodar, he said, one of my students challenged one of these rascals and said, you're saying that life comes from chemicals. So if I give you a bunch of chemicals, can you create life? And the big, big scientist replied, Prabhupada said, oh, I cannot say. So if you cannot say, then why are you talking then? So much big, big presentation and conferences and prizes and this and that. It's just a big show. A big show. But the devotees know. The devotees know what is the reality. Atak Vishvesha Vishvaman Vishwamurti Sakeshume. Vishwamurti means the personality of the form of the universe. As I just stated, all throughout the universe there's form. The universe itself has form and everything within it has form. So how can the source of it all be formless? Doesn't make sense. So that's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted to hammer home these points for us to really understand, really comprehend, so we can go out and challenge these so-called. Now, an interesting thing is that Kunti, in that particular prayer, she's requesting Krishna to cut off her attachment for the Pandavas and the Rishis. Atavishvesha Vishvatman Vishamurti Sakeshu Sneha Pashe Mangsindi Intaram Pandashu Vishnishu. Please break off my attachment, family attachment. So Prabhupada gives a very nice purport there. He says that this breaking of the family attachment has to be done so that one can develop a broader mentality. In other words, see the bigger family, not just my immediate father, mother, brother, sister, cousin. See the bigger picture, that we're all family and treat each other like that. And he said clearly in that purport, he said, if a person does not have that broader vision, and they can't be, specifically mentions four things, can't be a brahmana, can't be a king, can't be a public leader, can't be a devotee. So if you don't have that broader vision, you cannot be a devotee. You cannot be a brahmana, you cannot be a king, you cannot even be any kind of public leader. But we see in the modern world, the public leaders, the so-called kings, leaders, they're very narrow vision. My family, put them all in high positions. My party. If you're in my party and you support me, then I support you. Otherwise, get the hell out of here. This is the mentality. No broad vision, just narrow-mindedness everywhere. Narrow-mindedness. And that's why the world is in the position it's in right now. Because this kind of narrow-minded vision, when leaders, the leaders have that vision, then the common citizens, they also follow, and they suffer like anything. They suffer. Because when you have this narrow-minded vision, you can't be genuinely helpful to anybody. It's all just you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and at any moment, watch out. It's a mixed bag. It's just like lions. If you ever study lions or seen studies of lions, the lions, they love their children. You try to take a cub from a lioness, you'll be killed. But when it comes time to eat, the cubs eat last. The big males eat first, the females eat, and then the cubs are allowed to come and eat. So a mixed bag. They love their kids, and they'll protect them like anything, but when it comes to, self-sense gratification, get out of my way. And they fight each other. Why do you think lions have so many scratches on them? They scratch each other like anything while they're eating. But human beings are not meant to be like that. Human consciousness is like, some devotees remembered, if you read the proper Lilamrita, that when they went to India for the first time, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, who was still brahmachari at the time, he made a big feast and invited Prabhupada and all of his disciples that were with him. And he cooked everything himself. He fed Prabhupada and the devotees. And after everybody was satisfied, then he sat down and ate. That's human consciousness. That's brahminical consciousness. Not that me first, I get as much as I want, and then my family, and then whatever is left over, whatever. No, not like that. Real brahminical consciousness, real devotee consciousness is let me take care of everybody else first and then worry about myself. Because I know Krishna is the supreme controller, and if I please Krishna by pleasing his devotees, then what do I have to worry about? Will Krishna take care of me or not? Will Krishna take care of me or not? Yes, he will. So Prabhupada used to say like that. He used to say, Krishna is not a poor man. Don't worry about your maintenance. Just serve Krishna to the best of your ability, and Krishna will take care of you. So I've gone a little over. Thank you very much. If there's maybe one question, I think we have a few minutes left. Yes, Prem Sankirtan Prabhu.
I tell to some people like that, repeat that. All another things is, it's laws, three modes, material nature, so has to be some, there is laws all over, traffic law, so has to be some person who is in charge. And still, they didn't accept, and still they're, so why is like that?
As you mentioned, the modes of material nature. If somebody's actually in the mode of goodness, then they get it. They get it. They understand. They hear it. It makes sense. They get it. Somebody in the mode of passion, because they have so many of these material desires to fulfill, maybe, maybe not. At some point, it may make a little sense, but they're too busy chasing their material dreams. And somebody in the mode of ignorance, they don't get it at all. It doesn't matter how many times you say it. It goes in one ear and out the other. Because their consciousness is so low, it's practically on the animal level. And therefore, they only deal with four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
But they still can understand what you're just saying, that they can read Bhagavad Gita, they can read about most material nature, they're intelligent, they can understand, and still they don't want to be in change.
Therefore, we have prasadam. Prabhupada said, you're so dull, you can't understand philosophy, so eat. Eat your way back to Godhead. Just eat Krishna prasadam. Don't eat any nonsense. If you only confine yourself to eating Krishna prasadam, you'll go back to the spiritual world. Just eat your way back to Godhead. Okay? Rantarashimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai.